The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Southern California Live, and I am your host, Ed Carlson. Thank you again for having me these past couple days. It has been a pleasure and a privilege to share these couple days with you, and I hope you have been encouraged and challenged during our time together. Well, we spent a good amount of time in the first hour talking about vaccine mandates. We had a couple great guests, Matt Rogers and Cecilia Trent. I hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't, you can go on our KKLA website and you can grab down that podcast a little bit later and hear those interviews as well as that conversation. And I want to continue that conversation with you here. So give us a call this second hour at 888-52-TALKS. That's 888-52-TALKS, 888-52-TALKS. But I want to add another topic of discussion to our phone calls today. So we can talk about vaccine mandates, but I want to add something to it. Something that's been a hot topic really starting back last year during COVID and still today, really, as it has hit our school districts across the United States. There's a big fight that's happening right now all across the United States amongst people, amongst school districts, amongst parents. And that is a topic of critical race theory. When I say those three words, there are usually two responses to it, maybe three, but two mainly, which are one, extreme disgust and don't like it, or two, extreme embrace of it. There's some out there that maybe a third response would be, I don't even know fully what that is. And so, but yet what I found to be true is this, and I find this to be true really with a lot of subjects that we talk about in our world today and with regards to a biblical worldview with regards to these hot topics, is that both sides, when asked to define what critical race theory is, have a really hard time defining what it is and where it came from, as well as what it looks like in a practical sense if and when it's rolled out fully. So before we go to the phones, if you'll humor me for just a few minutes, I want to unpack what critical race theory is and where it came from and where it's trying to take our country, where it's trying to take our kids, our places of education and other organizations and institutions where it's trying to be implemented. And there's no way today that we'll be able to go down every rabbit hole that CRT creates within society. But let's at least set the foundation of understanding so we can have some reasonable and good conversations about it today. And hopefully also to see the negative ramifications that are potentially possible if this ideology continues to roll out in our culture. So here we go. So critical race theory, or what we call CRT, CRT, is the view that the law and legal institutions, as well as educational and business institutions, are inherently racist, and that race itself, instead of being biologically grounded and natural, is a socially constructed concept that is used by white people to further their economic and political interest at the expense of people of color. That is critical race theory 101. And at the heart of what has been come to be known as the woke movement lies this idea that the sin of racism is no longer to be, and this is key, that it is no longer to be understood as an individual sin. Instead, the term now incorporates the idea of institutional or structural racism and its implications. Hence, because of all this, America has sinned. And certain Americans have inherited that sin, whether they know it or not, and they are inherently racist because they are part of the majority class of white people. Now, CRT, critical race theory, in its current form, and I say its current form because we're going to talk about where it came from. CRT in its current form happened in 1989 with a few main figures. One was Harvard Law professor Derrick Bell. The other one was his protege, Kimberly Crenshaw, who introduced the idea of intersectionality of race and sex. Maybe you've heard of that. And then another woman by the name of Peggy McIntosh. And at that time, the term that was used was not CRT, was not critical race theory, but CSJ, which was critical social justice. I'll say that again. It wasn't CRT in 1989. It was, the main thrust was critical social justice. But in order to understand these deep and at times even hard to understand concepts, we must first understand where it came from. And this is where the conversation begins to go a little bit deeper and really begin to get to the core of the truth of really what CRT is all about. But see, we must first understand where it comes from. So let's go there. As Solomon said thousands of years ago, Solomon, the wisest man of the Bible, so we might want to like pay attention when he says something. In Ecclesiastes 1:9, he says this, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun." And critical race theory isn't something new. I'll say that again. Critical race theory is not something new. It may feel like it. The thrust of it may feel different, and it is. But those that have recently taken advantage of a divided America by employing these concepts upon our society and profiting from it, they're not geniuses that somehow came up with this really cool ideology. It goes back all the way, listen to this, to the 1800s, to a gentleman by the name of Karl Marx. Maybe you've heard of him before. Karl Heinrich Marx was a German philosopher, economist, historian, sociologist, political theorist, journalist, and more importantly, socialist revolutionary. And he belonged to a political party in Germany that was called the Communist Correspondence Party. Karl Marx also wrote this infamous book called The Communist Manifesto. And Karl Marx was the leading architect of the most dominant school of thought within sociology known as, hey, listen here, conflict theory. Now, this is important. It was a major dominant school of thought within sociology called conflict theory. And this is the inception of what we have today in critical race theory. It started with this thing known as conflict theory. Karl Marx viewed society as a group of different social classes all competing for a limited pool of resources, such as food, housing, employment, education, and a host of other things. So the concepts that are found in critical race theory today have their inception in Karl Marx and his conflict theory. So let's fast forward. There's a guy by the name of Antonio Gramsci, who was an ardent follower of Karl Marx, and he picked up the torch and developed a concept out of conflict theory called hegemony. Hegemony, H-E-G-E-M-O-N-Y, you can look that up. But hegemony says this, it is what takes place when a dominant group imposes its ideology on the rest of society. So here all of a sudden it's beginning to kind of take shape, kind of what this CRT is all about and where it came from. So he said, what takes place when a dominant group imposes its ideology on the rest of society? And this is accomplished, he says, through conditioning rather than physical force or intimidation. So let's fast forward again as we get closer and closer to today. So after the Marxist Revolution fell to topple capitalism in the early 20th century, you guys probably remember that during the 1900s, Marxists went back to the drawing board, and they modified and adapted some of Karl Marx's ideas. And the change that really stuck was from a group associated with what was called the Institute for Social Research in Frankfurt, Germany. And so what this institution applied, they applied Marxism to a radical interdisciplinary social theory. And this group that constructed this new social theory formed their own private circle of what I just call learning heads, talking heads, and they were called the Frankfurt School. So this group of men, which is interesting because we're going to get to the bottom of CRT, and it's funny that it all really started with a bunch of men. This group of men developed a concept called, listen here, critical theory. So conflict theory, now it's critical theory. And so you see it starting to develop now. It was an expansion of Karl Marx's conflict theory. And this group of men's main goal was to address, listen, structural issues causing inequity. All sounds fine and dandy and, you know, hey, let's talk about it. But here's how it all comes together. In order to understand critical theory, it's important to understand how the words critical and theory are used. So if you're a social scientist out there, maybe you're listening, you could even speak to this. And give us a call. But in the social sciences, the word critical is used to identify and expose problems in order to facilitate revolutionary political change. I'll say that again. The word critical is used in a social sciences to identify and expose problems in order to facilitate revolutionary political change. Here's the key. It implies revolution. It is not interested in reform. I'll say that again. Critical theory is not interested in reform. It implies revolution. So that begins to make sense as we look back to last year and all this craziness that we went through with defund the police and let's get rid of them. Because here's why. If you're a Marxist, if you're a Marxist ideologist that supports critical theory, then you don't want to reform the police. You defund it or you just straight out abolish them. But here is a huge concept about the overall concept of critical theory that should hopefully give you a clue as to its origins and its purpose. This is a big one. Critical theory denies objective truth. Now, I want to say that again because that is probably the biggest part of this whole thing. Critical theory denies objective truth. In other words, Marxist believers who support critical theory do not believe this reality. And this is really smacks right in the face of a biblical worldview and the Word of God. They don't believe this reality, that something can be true for everyone, whether they agree with it or not. They do not believe the reality that something can be true for everyone, whether they agree with it or not. Or to say it another way, they believe in subjective truth. It is their experienced truth that guides their philosophy of life. And any hint of objective truth, especially from God, we'll get to that in a second, is out of the question and absolutely impossible. Now, in our culture, we have seen subjective opinion elevated to the level of objective truth. If a person, and we've even heard it said this way, if a person embraces his truth or her truth, then everyone else is supposed to embrace that as truth as well, at least in certain politically correct matters. And if you don't, then you are a sexist, you're a racist, or whatever name they will call you. That is the message that is being perpetrated in our world today. And if you're just joining us right now, you're listening to Southern California Live. My name is Ed Carlson. I'm your host, and we are talking about critical race theory and its effect on our culture. We're also talking this second hour about vaccine mandates. We want to hear from you, so please give us a call at 888-52-TALKS. That's 888-52-TALKS. But I want to just fast forward as these calls are starting to come in. We fast forward finally to today, and we have gone from the original idea, the inception of Karl Marx's idea of conflict theory, to critical theory from a group of Marxist supporters, to the concept, the idea of critical social justice in 1989, to today, and the ideology of critical race theory. And that's where we're sitting at now in 2021. So originally, the concept of conflict theory had to do with social classes. And then it morphed into political factions, and then back to general and cultural social ideas in 1989, and then insert the race issue today. So the evolution of Marxist ideas seems to be this. This is the best that I can kind of come up with as I've done my research and study over the last number of months. They say this. Way back with Karl Marx, we'll start with the big umbrella of conflict theory or critical theory. And then we can insert a middle word in there depending on what is trending and what they feel can forward their cause. And I'm not a prophet, and there are much wiser people in this world than me, but mark my word, this CRT battle, this critical race theory battle, will go as far as the general citizens will allow it. And then it will fade away into the sunset to be used in a later decade. And the next thing will be either the word gender or sex, such as critical gender theory or critical sex theory. And as the Marxist ideologists try to push their communist nirvana on the world, that's what's going to happen. But to frame our conversation today, because I want to go to the phones, and we could talk about this forever. But CRT at its basic level says this, that racism is ingrained in the fabric and system of the American society. These power structures are based on white privilege and white supremacy, which perpetuates the marginalization of people of color. And if you're white or perhaps part of the dominating establishment, which that race, I guess, could change depending on who was the majority race at that moment and in what country. But no matter what you really feel about people of color, you are guilty. According to critical race theory, you are guilty and you're part of the problem. And it's not about educating people. Remember, it's about revolution. Revolution and force to change this culture into the Marxist ideology that they desire. And this worldview is now trying to be taught in your local school district. For those of you just tuning in, this is Ed Carlson. You're listening to Southern California Live here on 99.5 KKLA. And we are discussing critical race theory. We're also discussing vaccine mandates. And I want to jump back to that as well. We talked about it in our first hour, but we didn't get to all of it. President Biden has said, with regards to the unvaxxed, that we've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin. And he says, and your refusal has cost us. Now, all of this stuff, vaccine mandates, critical race theory, sometimes I have to maybe you're like me too, and I sometimes wake up and I go, am I still living in America? What is going on right now? It's crazy. But where the president of the United States throws veiled threats is at those citizens that actually own this country, it's crazy. This thing we call America was a government that was formed of the people, by the people, and for the people. No matter what your stance is on the vax, veiled threat language from the POTUS is just, it's not acceptable language to half of America simply because they have decided to not get a vaccine that is less than 9 months old from rollout. And at one point, in the speech, Biden had asked the unvaxxed, what are you waiting for? To which I would respond with this. I would like to have more studies on the vaccine is what I'm waiting for. More information on the side effects. More longitudinal studies for children, pregnant women, immune compromised, potentially for potential fertility issues. How about acknowledgement and support for those that have already had adverse reactions to the vaccine? Or how about acknowledgement of the freedom that Americans have to not be vaccinated any time the government sees fit? And Biden and his administration went so far as to say that they would push the Labor Department and OSHA to mandate all businesses with over 100 employees. You heard that on the audio clip that we played earlier. And I just have a question. Since when is OSHA's purpose to be a proxy for the government? I thought the purpose of OSHA and the regulations were to protect workers from management and unfair working conditions and safety protocol, not to restrict workers themselves and get in the medical and health business. And then finally, we have seen and heard Biden, along with his spokespeople, that they are clearly upset with those that haven't taken the vaccine as of yet and wanted them to know that they are the reason this pandemic is continuing. They call it the pandemic of the unvaccinated. Well, this language that's being, and again, we've had a problem, I think, with language for a number of years from those that are in power, and so we could have that discussion on another day. But the language that we're engaging in is nothing but a clear move to pit people against each other. We have to be better than that. This nation and this world need leadership. And I call upon all leaders in America, from the president to his cabinet, to congresspeople, to senators. We're better than that. This nation needs leadership. This nation needs wisdom. This nation needs love. This nation needs Jesus. And you, all of those that are in leadership, men and women alike, have been put in that leadership position for this time by God. Now, I want to also say something about a long-lost doctrine of the faith and also a right that was given to every American with regards to this issue of vaccine mandates. That we have seemed to lose along the way, not only in our country, but around the world. And it's this doctrine of conscience. Others have called it the freedom of conscience. And it says this, that a person's moral conscience makes practical judgments founded on binding objective moral norms. For this reason, each person is bound to obey his conscience and should have the freedom to do so without discrimination. So this attempt to protect the right to act according to one's conscience has been attacked on every level, especially from the pro-choice crowd who have advocated the right for abortion. But in this case, with regards to vaccine mandates, forget about religious exemptions, which is another topic for another day. I'd love to talk about that. But what about the freedom of conscience? This has been a long-held right in America, as well as consistently upheld in the courts of law since the inception of our country. When human beings are not tied to moral norms of behavior, but just to act freely, following his or her own desires and passions and making decisions that affect others, with no regard to conscience, it never ends well in history. But and according to this way of thinking, conscience is severed from reason, and personal freedom is made absolute. In that type of world, conscience equals feelings, or at best, preference. The person separates his or her choices and decisions from references external to himself, and then he or she becomes the center of their own moral universe and acts as if their freedom is absolute truth. That, my friends, if walked out in every area of life, is a crazy world hell-bent on fulfilling our own desires, where passion and lust and selfishness rule the day. That's not a world that anyone, Christian or non-Christian, wants to live in. Again, feelings are not facts. Facts are facts. Well, when we get back, we're going to be having this more conversation on critical race theory and vaccine mandates. We want you to give us a call. Call us right now. We're here to take your calls this whole second hour. Call us at 888-52-TALKS. That's 888-52-TALKS. That's 888-52-TALKS. This is Ed Carlson. You're listening to Southern California Live here on KKLA.
And if you get bogged down on critical race theory, then you miss the bigger picture, which is where critical race theory comes from. It comes from critical theory. It comes from neo-Marxism, this neo-Marxist ideology. And so this neo-Marxist ideology is antithetical to biblical Christianity in a number of ways. First of all, when it divides the world into the oppressor-oppressed categories, for example, the critical social justice movement sees the oppressive hegemony as white, male, heterosexual, cisgendered, able-bodied, native-born, all the way down to Christian. So according to critical theory and according to critical social justice, Christianity is the boogeyman. Christianity is the hegemonic power that oppresses other people. And so we have to understand that this is not just about race. The critical social justice movement is about an ideology that is rooted in neo-Marxism, that divides the world up into categories of oppressor and oppressed. Just like Marx and Gramsci is incredibly anti-Christian, it sees, you know, in Marx's case, you know, religion as the opiate of the masses. And in Gramsci's case, you know, it sees socialism as that ideology that must supplant Christianity. So one of the reasons that this is antithetical to biblical Christianity is because it's rooted and grounded in an ideology that sees Christianity as inherently oppressive and as the enemy. Christian worldview is seen as the basis, the root of the oppression of people within the context of especially American culture, but really even broader than that in Western culture.
Welcome back to the show. That was an audio clip of Odie Bauckham and one of the hundreds of interviews that he has done on the subject of critical race theory. And I encourage you to look him up. This is a big topic. It's going to continue to be a big topic in our culture. And we as believers in Christ must educate ourselves and find out what God has to say about it in his word. And Odie Bauckham does an incredible job. You can find him on social media, follow him on YouTube as well. There's tons of YouTube videos with regards to him speaking to this. He is masterful on the topic of CRT, as well as a host of other things. But this is Ed Carlson. You're listening to Southern California Live here on KKLA. And we want to hear from you on this topic, or perhaps you want to discuss the most recent vaccine mandates that are making their way through the country. Give us a call at 888-52-TALKS. That's 888-52-TALKS, 888-52-TALKS. As Vody was saying in the audio clip, when you begin to walk out the concepts and belief systems of Marxist ideologues that lift up critical race theory, or in a general sense, just critical theory, the current regime of CRT apologists don't just have a bone to pick with the corrupt white institution, but also specifically with men. So if you're a man out there, they've got a bone to pick with you, because according to them, men are misogynistic and need to be tamed. They also have a bone to pick with heterosexuals, because heterosexuals think that they are better than homosexuals. But it goes even deeper than that. And this is the part where Vody does a great job in taking, because sometimes things are going on in our world and they're just smoke screens. They're smoke screens from what is really going on. And here's what really is going on. As Vody Bakum so masterfully said, here's really what the devil in sheep's clothing is really about. They dislike and have a bone to pick with Christians. That is really at the core of their own belief system. That Christians are the real super enemy, because Christianity says that there is absolute truth. And that that absolute truth was created and is sustained by truth himself, a man by the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible is Christianity's roadmap for all matters of conscience and justice. And that fact flies in the face of any Marxist ideology. And this is really what it's all about. Don't be fooled by the smoke screen, because as we said in our earlier segment, this whole CRT concept goes all the way back to the 1800s with Karl Marx, and it started off with the social kind of thing. It wrapped itself into the political systems in Germany initially, in other places, and it's made its ways to our shore. But it really comes down to this. And if you ask any person that is a super supporter of CRT and they know CRT, they will have to say this, that the theory in and of itself is a Marxist ideology. It is a Marxist ideology from Karl Marx himself. And it really does create the oppressed and the oppressor. And it pits those two. Somebody has to be the oppressed and somebody is the oppressor. And then let's do battle and let's make sure that the oppressor, whoever that is, and again, it's not even necessarily certain individuals, because there are oppressors in our world for sure. But when we begin to classify all people as oppressors because of the color of their skin, man, we've got a lot to say about that with regards to what the Bible says, and we're going to be getting to that. But here's also a part, I think, that begins to happen when we begin to have conversations, real conversations with a biblical worldview, whether it be CRT, whether it be on other big subjects like abortion, or whether it be homosexuality or transgenderism, whatever the case may be. Here's kind of how the conversation goes. This is every conversation on morality or social ethics in this modern world. And tell me if this is not the case. So here's what it is. So secular society will say, well, we want to do X, whatever X is. We want to, we want to do this. And then the church or believers, those with a biblical worldview, will say, well, you're free to do it. And they are. You are free to believe it. You're free to do that. And then secular society comes back and says, but you think that that's wrong. And then we respond and we say, yeah, we do. And then secular society will come back and says, well, that's because you want to control us. And then we respond and say, no, you're free to do whatever you believe, what you want to do. But then they come back again and say, but you think that it's wrong. And we say, yeah, we do, but only because God's word says so. And we want your ultimate good and the ultimate good of this society, which is the definition of love, isn't it? But then they come back and they say, but we want to do X. We want to do this. And we come back and say, well, you're free to do it. You have free will. You could do it. But then it comes back, and then secular society comes back and says, but we want you to say that X is good. We want you to say that this is good. And then we respond and say, we can't say that. We can't say that because that would be go against what God himself says and what we believe to be true in God's word. And then sure enough, secular society comes back and says, well, why do you hate us so much? We don't hate you. We don't hate you at all. We have a call right now from James in Duarte. James, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
I am well. I'm just trying to get a handle on critical racism theory.
Absolutely, yeah. What's your question?
My question is, what is it?
Ah, great question. Were you able to listen to the first segment at all?
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying that's an opinion, but I just need to know what is it for me to understand it is because God created us as human, and we all are human, created in his image.
Yes.
Yeah, whether what color you are, the expression, but remember now, once we come to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have to look at people as God does. They created his image.
Amen.
And so but when we try to identify who started what, who said what, and when you have people that have been oppressed for years, and especially, I'll be honest with you, a black guy, racism, slavery.
It's real, yeah.
And critical race theory, and now they want to take, don't talk about slavery, don't talk about what has happened in America now, not over the world, but in America, because I live in America.
Yes.
But I'm a Christian, and so I was sharing that even in the Christendom, you have the Jews, back when we talked to the Bible in John the 4th chapter, where the Samaritan was hated by the Jews.
Yes.
But Jesus broke that barrier when he met the woman at the well. So we're not looking at race. In fact, the Bible doesn't talk about race. It says run the race. There's only one race, if you want to use that term. It's a human race.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
But the point about that is we get intellectually on critical race theory. Who started that? We want to be socialists. We don't want to. What is wrong with taking care of those who can't take care of themselves? What is wrong with helping those who've lost their husband, their fatherless, all of that? If I'm a Christian, I will want that for them.
Amen.
I will want to help out. I want to do those things. But we divide by, we put a box into the fact of, well, you guys think this way, and so we think this way. No, we have to come together at the same time and look at the reality of what we're in a fallen world. And the Bible says, no, I'm not of the world, but at the same time, we are a witness for Jesus. Jesus loves us.
Amen. Amen. James, we're up against a break. What a great call. And you are absolutely right. You remind me, as you're talking, you remind me of Galatians 3:28 that says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And I think I totally agree with what you're saying. I think the problem that we come up against is what we expect the world to act in a biblical manner, which is, hey, we're all the same in Jesus Christ. Well, they're not in Jesus Christ. And so we have this battle of truth and falsity that we have to keep going. But great call. James, call us back. I'd love to hear more from you on this topic. We'd love to hear from you. So when we get back, we're going to be having this more conversation on critical race theory as well as vaccine mandates. You are listening to Southern California Live here on KKLA.
I'll tell you exactly what my problem is. Not only as a former school teacher, but as a lawyer, a civil rights lawyer, a person who deals with the issue of racism. Critical race theory is not a program, a discipline, a principle grounded in facts. It only tells you a conclusion. It tells you that white people are privileged, black people are oppressed. It doesn't tell you the why, the how, and everything else. It takes a part of history when we first became a nation, and then apply it to everyday life. It ignores the progress in this country. So there's no facts. And I challenge John, the Ice Age cartoon character, to debate me and tell me what facts he has. Steve?
Yeah, Leah, I think that's the point right there, is the conclusion that a lot of people have, because the stories that they tell are real, but it's a conclusion that becomes very problematic. So what should be the response to critical race theory?
I'll tell you what the response should be. The response should be just what parents are doing throughout the country. They challenge the school boards and say, we do not want this. And this is where I really believe is important. We just can't let this be implemented in schools. We have to challenge the legitimacy of it, the credibility of it. And so if the facts don't justify the implementation of this, it cannot be taught to our kids. Our kids are at this early age of their life where they absorb this information and they'll challenge the system, which is wrong if it's not grounded in facts. As a school teacher, this is the learning age where kids are indoctrinated and they should be taught, not used by propaganda.
That's the famous civil rights attorney, Leo Terrell, speaking on the fallacies of the critical race theory. And he's right. Its ultimate goal is to create an oppressor and the oppressed and to pit those two groups against each other and then bring down the oppressor. Welcome back. You are listening to Southern California Live. This is Ed Carlson. And we have this one last segment, and we've got a lot to get to, but we want you to call 888-52-TALKS. That's 888-52-TALKS. We've been talking about critical race theory. he's also correct. Leo's also correct in saying that this type of indoctrination in our school systems into the minds of young kids during their most formative years is a special kind of evil, in my opinion. Pitting kids against each other, creating angst and anger between kids of because of skin color, Lord help us. Like, it just to think about that. Now, we had a great call, James, on our last segment. James, if you're still listening, I'm sure you are. Great call. You're right. Slavery did happen in America. It was a horrendous evil. But I want you to think about as well, like, our job as believers in Christ is to really fulfill Galatians 3:28, which said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So when we have theories or social theories that come up, and we have to be able as Christians to be able to answer that from a biblical worldview. Well, we've got another call here. We've got a lot lining up on the call here. Daniel from Orange County. Daniel, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Daniel, you had a question for us. What's that question?
Since there's a pushback against teaching CRT in public schools, my question is, do you think that there's a place for, say, in the church in informal education safety?
Go ahead.
Because I understand that there are teachers who aren't well-versed in critical race theory, and critical race theory can spread divisiveness and has, but I think that's related to teachers being underprepared in regard to how to teach it in our classrooms in an age-appropriate way.
Yeah, no, I that's a great question. My response to that, Daniel, would be this. You know, is there a place in formal education for the theory of critical theory, let's say? In formal education, yeah, I would say so, as students get older are able to think abstractly. But also I would say this, but also present the other sides of it. Because here's the deal. I mean, maybe you ask yourself this question, right? If you have kids, I don't know if you have kids, but if you had kids, do you want, let's say, your kid going to school? And when we walk this critical race theory out, if we implement this and we walk it all the way out, here's what's going to begin to happen. You guys probably can answer this already, and we'll have the same response. If you walk this out, you're going to create in schools, elementary schools, junior highs, high schools, you're going to create another race war. And that's exactly what Marxism wants. They want, remember, it's not about education. It is about reform, and reform through violence if necessary. You need to hear that. So if you want your kid going and saying, hey, listen, because let's throw it on another thing. Let's say that, the dominant race was Hispanic. And maybe we had in our history of our nation a slavery or something like that that was predominantly ran by Hispanics. If you are a Hispanic person and your kid is Hispanic and going to school, that was hundreds of years ago. And you've raised your son, you've raised your daughter in a way that respects all people of all colors. Now you want them going to school and that teacher or that professor saying, hey, yeah, because you're Hispanic, you're a racist. You're the oppressor. So it's a crazy, crazy concept that I wish I had so much more time to talk about. We've got so many people on the line right now, so I want to go to them. We're probably not going to get to everybody today, but man, we'll talk about this again someday. But Richard, you're on the line. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, what do you have to say?
Hey, I just wanted to let you know and let everybody know listening, you know, how important our role is as a parent.
Amen.
You know, just to teach our kids, you know, what the schools are trying to force on them, not only with the mask mandates and all that, yeah, but also this critical race theory, you know, and just to show our kids, you know, our love and Jesus's love and how much we love them, and just to show them that how evil and disgusting this world can be and what they're trying to push on a little mind, you know, it's hard. They don't fully understand what CRT means, you know, but in any way you can describe it to them, and you know how to talk to your kids, it's important to, you know, bring these issues up to them. And also, one more thing, you know, at the city and local level, we need to get the right people in line that are going to push this out, because it's not going to go out by itself. It's going to keep coming in, and we're going to lose our country. We're already losing our country.
Yeah. Richard, great call. Thank you so much, man. We'd love for you to call back anytime. You're right. Hey, parents, listen, we have a job to do. If you're a believer, get your kids to church every single Sunday. Get the word of God into them. Teach them at the home, around the dinner table. When we do that, some of these issues that come up, because CRT is an issue right now. It'll be something else down the road a year from now, 2 years from now. But I want to take this call real quick from, I think it's Danielle in L.A. Danielle, are you there? Did I say your name right?
Close enough. It's Danielle.
Danielle, so, right? I got it right. Okay, Danielle. Right. Okay, what do you have to say today? I see you have to, we want to talk about the root issue.
Well, for me, when I look at this, I believe, and I'm speaking particularly to Christians, for us, according to 1 Peter 2, who are a chosen race. Isn't that interesting?
That scripture uses that
word. Mm. We forget that when we became believers, we became one race.
That's right.
Regardless of what the outside and the skin says, our spirits became new. Our souls were set free, and we became one body, one faith with one Father. And so when we look at everything that's transpiring around us, according to Ephesians 6:12, remember that the struggle is not against flesh, but against rulers, authorities, and principalities. And I understand that there's the context of everything that we're seeing in the physical realm, but we have to, as warriors, as frontline people, know the word that I once had the Lord lay something on my heart, and he says, the season of uprising is upon us. Prepare for engagement. The question is, we as believers are actually allowing the culture to influence the church, and the church is the ecclesia, the called out ones. And so if we're going to be called out, we have to be the church that influences the culture. I know we have to have the information. And you really did a beautiful job of describing the history of CRT and its roots. But what's so interesting, too, is I lived in South Africa as a missionary when I was graduated from university. And I saw what happened in apartheid with the whites and the blacks. But then the Lord also says, what do you see also? And I said, well, I see the Dutch and the British against each other. I see the different tribes against each other. And he says, so what's the root? And I'm like, yes, Lord, the root to all of this is Jeremiah 17:9. It's the depravity of man's heart. And unless we can rise up and acknowledge that not one person is the oppressor, but we are the oppressor. We need to be climbing up the mountaintop, the precipice of injury, looking at the fact that there's a mirror, and I'm in it.
Danielle, that is so good. Danielle, I hate to cut you off, because we're running up against the back end of the show. Danielle, you call back anytime. I love it. You're a preacher in and of yourself. I love it. But I just want a final take on this. We got four or five folks that are still on the line. I'm so sorry we couldn't get to you today. We'd love to hear from you on the show. Please call back again. But those belonging to the social justice crowd present themselves as the only ones pursuing justice, to the exclusion of all who disagree with their assessments. In the social justice warrior's mind, anybody that disagrees with their viewpoint is not pursuing justice, but is pursuing injustice and must be put down. And that's a dangerous ideology. Hebrews 12:14 says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. But the current concept and philosophy we're seeing in the social justice movement is completely incompatible with biblical Christianity. I want to remind you once again, Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the solution to all of the world's woes. Let's get the message of Jesus out to our world, folks. His grace, his mercy, his love, it truly can change the vilest of hearts. Thank you so, so much for allowing me to spend today with you. This is Ed Carlson signing off. Until next time.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.